Welcome to Syncreate. This is a show where we explore the intersections between creativity, psychology, and spirituality. We believe everyone has the capacity to be creative, and our goal is to demystify the creative process and expand the boundaries of what it means to be creative. I'm Melinda Rothaus, and I help individuals and organizations bring their creative dreams and visions to life. So very excited to have Eben Britton with us here today. He's also a podcaster. You might know of his show, The Eben Flow. He's got a book by the same name. Was a pro in the NFL for a number of years and now kind of in the wellness space and spirituality space. So that's kind of how we connected. Some common circles started to intersect, and here we are. And we were just kind of, I think that's like a good place. We were kind of chatting the other day about, you know, how what we both do kind of aligns and connects. And we're kind of both in the space of helping people, whether it's around creativity, whether it's around wellness, spirituality, just kind of be the best version of themselves.
Yes.
So, and I also know that you come from a very creative family lineage. So I kind of want to hear a little bit about how that informs your journey. But I guess for those who might not, you know, be as familiar from my listeners, what is it that you do and how does it relate to creativity?
Well, super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Melinda. This is fun.
Yeah.
And I suppose the best place to start, well, I think starting at the conversation that we had on the phone, just talking about what are we going to talk about here?
Mm-hmm.
And something that I've been really wanting to talk to you about, because it's very alive for me in my life, is in everything I do, I don't know that I've always been the best at, especially in life after football. With football, it was easy because I had this dream, this vision of playing in the NFL.
And was that always your dream?
Like, when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
I was watching the news at my grandparents' house in Connecticut, and the Jets and the Giants came on. They were in training camp, and I watched these gladiators smashing into each other
right.
And like this epic violent ballet of men in armor. And I thought to myself, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
Mm.
And my mom would never let me play. Finally, my freshman year of high school, she's like, okay, you can do it. And it felt like this rocket ship to the moon trajectory of, this is what I'm going to do. I'm on a mission. Everything I am is in accordance with achieving this dream. How I carry myself, how I walk, how I talk, how I eat, how I move, how I breathe is all about achieving this dream.
Yeah.
And coming out of that experience, and having to completely reimagine myself, shed old skins, shed a lot of old skins, shed a lot of egocentric driving forces. For me, football was always this thing to prove to the world how big and strong and tough I was.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of doing that, I really destroyed myself. And so in life after football, doing the dance of healing, getting clean, mentally, emotionally, physically, tuning into who is Eb underneath all of that stuff, the football pads and the ideas about what I got to do with my life to prove my worth. And I don't know that I knew it was leading in this direction where I found myself, But I've always been good at just following the breadcrumbs one step at a time, you know, following where the universe, where God, where spirit's taking me one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that's revealed to me is my mom started taking me to yoga when I was 10 years old. And thank God she did, because it was this really important anchor for me.
Yeah.
It was touch and go through my football career. There were times when I was doing a lot of yoga, times when I was doing no yoga, wanted nothing to do with yoga. I came out of football, and yoga was a great starting place that I gravitated back towards, mm-hmm. of putting my body back together. And then I didn't realize that it was going to help me put my mind back together and my heart back together. So this process of clearing out all the gunk, all the stuff that was no longer serving me,
mm-hmm.
healing the wounds that I never had an opportunity to heal, because from 13 to 28, I was in this football container. All my relationships are coming through that prism. Yeah. And like you said, coming from this family of artists and always having this great appreciation for art, great books and literature and paintings and films, and always loving Greek mythology and ancient tales and all of that stuff, really was so important and so influential for me and my life experience.
Yeah.
And so all of the stuff that I've come through, coming back to yoga and then my experiences with plant medicine and therapy and 12-step programs and Al-Anon in particular and meditation and therapy and group therapy and all of the stuff, as it has guided me back to center, that's where I've come into contact with what I believe to be is my true purpose in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And from that place, I've found the inspiration to create and to create the things that I've been creating that, you know, serve the purpose that I'm here to, to serve. Serve the gifts that I've been given. And, you know, for so long, not that I felt like I was only here to play football, but when that's your main objective, it's really hard to see anything outside of that.
Sure.
So once football really served as this incredible educational experience of learning about the limits that I had or didn't have.
Yeah.
Relationships with people, humanity, business, my physical abilities, my mental, emotional, spiritual capabilities, all of that stuff was wrapped up in this really deep educational masterclass of playing pro football, going on the journey of playing pro football.
Yeah.
And where I think it really, it's brought me to this place of being like, oh, for me, I had to do a lot of work to get clear and centered so that I could move from that place. And that's where, like, you start to read or you start to really dive into what does it mean to be an artist, or what is it? What is the artist's way?
Yeah.
And when you really get into that, it's this journey of getting to center so that you can create from that divinely aligned source in yourself.
Right.
So that's sort of a long roundabout way of explaining, like, for me, the events that we do and the workshops that I put on and everything I'm really interested in doing is providing people with a space and experience and opportunity to anchor down into the center of themselves so that they can be who they're meant to be and serve their gifts.
Yeah.
From that place.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise. And, you know, I noticed when I was researching that you were actually a creative writing major in college, which, like, you know, that might be surprising to some. Uh-huh. Right? And, you know, I was just talking with a friend yesterday, actually, about this kind of wounded healer archetype, right, that comes out of Jungian psychology, where many of us who gravitate to psychology or wellness or meditation, yoga, whatever. I was actually just talking with Kat about this the other day, too. It's like, it's because we need it. We're seeking that for ourselves, right? In our quest for self-development and healing and understanding. And then once we get to a certain place with it, then we can share what we've learned with others and kind of help them in their journey.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm even in this place of constantly reevaluating what am I moving from?
Yeah.
What's my intention here? And always reminding myself to work from the inside out.
Yes.
So just like you said, it's all for me, the meditation, the yoga, listening to music, creating something, writing, it's all for me to come back to center so that I can move from that place rather than the place of let me prove something, let me make money, let me do X, Y, or Z because of
some external thing.
Some dot, 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 fill in the blank.
Yeah.
External, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's been the most important thing for me is learning how to do that. And the constant process, the never ending studying, the never ending learning, the never ending process of coming back to center, developing myself, developing my inside so that I can move from that place. Like, you know, I'm putting on this men's workshop and it's my second one. It's called The Wild King.
Yeah.
Starts April 14th.
Tell us more about it. I think it's fascinating because personally, I'll just say, like, you know, there's all this going on with the Me Too movement and, you know, all of this kind of stuff, which is great and important. But I really think, like, the men need support.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Right? So I love that you're doing this. So tell us, like, what does that involve?
Yeah. So the first one I did was really divinely inspired. It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was... For the last handful of years, I've been venturing into these like really profound philosophies on masculinity. Mm-hmm. I think it probably started with reading this book, Way of the Superior Man by David Deja.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. And then my brother turned me on to all of these incredible talks by this guy, this poet, and really incredible masculine philosopher, Robert Bly.
Yep.
And then that led me into earlier last year, I read Iron John fully and went through it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was seeing a friend and he gave me his, a dear friend of mine. His father passed away, and I was visiting with him. And as a gesture of carrying on his father's legacy, anytime any of his friends would come to the house, his father would give them a copy of this book, Wild at Heart, by a guy, John Eldridge, who, and Wild at Heart is basically a distilled down version of Iron John.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read all of these books and all of a sudden this thing just emerged. I was like, yeah, I got to do a men's workshop.
Yeah.
Because this information was really alive and somehow all of the stuff that I've been doing for the last 8 or 9 years had sort of culminated in everyone who was asking me to do a podcast was like, I want to talk about manhood, masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's interesting because I've never really thought about what I'm doing is that what in that way.
Right.
So I put on this first one and it was so divinely inspired. It wasn't even a thought. It just came out of me. And the 6-week program and this process that we go through, beginning with the physical and then moving into meditation and mindfulness and then prayer, affirmation, communication, and then relationships and then discipline and all of these sort of steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thought came up to do another one.
Yeah.
And I just put it on the calendar and I started the process of promoting it and talking about it. And, you know, I realized that I was really pushing it. I realized that I was pushing this thing because I just, like, the intention, it wasn't off, but it wasn't anchored in being of service to men, which the first one really was. And I recognized that like 2 days ago.
Interesting.
And all of a sudden it just started to flow.
Like, yeah.
Guys started buying tickets.
How did that shift for you?
Well, I'm in this constant process of self-reflection and self-study, and I'm doing this incredible coaching with a new mentor, this guy Dave Meltzer, who's got a really profound outlook on life as a businessman and his philosophies for living. And he said something that just, it wasn't exactly connected to, it was just like, Eb, what is your essence when you're speaking on anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the essence that you're rooted in when you're promoting things? And seeing other clips and ideas, thinking about that thing of, are we working from the outside in or the inside out?
Right.
You know, and then just starting to reorganize how I'm speaking about something from the inside out rather than, because it had kind of taken on this thing like, oh, I've got to put on this men's group. It became a little bit of this, not a burden, but something that I had to do to get guys to come in, and I had to be a certain thing, and, you know, rather than let me just show up in the truth and honoring this subject matter and serving this subject matter and let that draw in the people that it resonates with.
Exactly. And it's that authenticity piece. It's funny because the podcast episode that I did prior to this, you know, at the end of it, my guest, who, you know, he's very accomplished. He was a writer on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and, you know, he's the co-editor of the Encyclopedia of Creativity. And he goes, oh, that was really personal. And I was like, that's great, because that's what people connect with.
Yeah.
Right? And people sense if it's like really salesy, or like people sense the motivation. And I think, you know, we all have something really important to offer and really unique to offer.
Yes.
But it's like, how are we communicating that? How are we, you know, coming across?
Yeah. And this is something that my mom and I talk about a lot. And what's the transmission?
Yeah.
Because beyond the words, when you interact with somebody, you're teaching, you're just communicating with someone.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just at the coffee shop. Your words say one thing, but there's an energetic, a vibrational transmission.
Absolutely.
That's coming from your center that doesn't lie. Your words might say anything.
Yeah.
Your words can say anything. But what is that energetic vibrational transmission that somebody's getting from you?
Yeah.
Because that'll tell the truth. You know, that.
And people can tell when that's not aligned.
Yeah.
Right? And then that, it makes people a little uneasy. It's like, you're saying one thing, but, you know, and they say that at least 70% of communication, if not more, is nonverbal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Right?
Totally. It's totally true.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1,000% true. So for me, it was, a really great, this experience with the men's workshop was a really great reminder of, Eb, this is what we're doing here anyway.
Yeah. Like,
this is what I'm teaching.
Yeah.
So I had gotten distracted because of all the stuff, all the external things that we're all subject to.
All the time, every day, all day, constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. Oh, let me reevaluate. Where am I anchored into here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I here to serve this information to men for the sake of serving it, because it needs to be served and it's important information?
Yeah.
Or am I just doing it to check a box?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. And I heard one of your clips, I saw one of your clips the other day, and you were talking about this workshop and talking about integrity.
Yes.
And that really spoke to me, you uh-huh. know, that really connected. Because, I mean, we have a lot of models out there in our society of what masculinity is.
Uh-huh.
And it's not always great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, like, what you were speaking about there in terms of integrity of your word,
uh-huh.
right, I thought was really powerful.
Well, I'll say the cliche thing that's super true, which is our words are magic.
Yeah.
And the universe responds to your words. And if your words are out of alignment with your insides, the universe recognizes that and mm-hmm. goes, you're full of shit, dude.
Yeah.
You're not being honest. You're not being truthful. You're not in integrity.
Yeah.
And so going back to your point about there's a lot of, I think for the last, as long as media has existed, we've gotten a really skewed view of what masculinity is.
Right. And
in the modern era, say post-industrial revolution, men have been completely severed from their two primordial anchors, which is to hunt and provide food for the clan,
mm-hmm.
and to protect the territory from invaders. And so we don't have to do either of those things anymore.
So what do we do? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, where does masculinity reveal itself?
Right. In healthy ways.
Yes. Right. And I think that the interesting thing is in this moment in humanity, it's the truth of masculinity is being revealed.
Yeah.
Because it is, to me, this concept of how deep is your integrity as a man, mm-hmm. that you can have difficult conversations when they need to be had.
Yeah.
You can speak truthfully and honestly, especially with women. Man to man, we're going to call out each other's bullshit,
right.
or we just won't hang out.
Right.
You
right.
know, like if it's a guy I love, I'll call him out and I'll hope that he calls me out
yeah.
when I'm not speaking truthfully.
Right.
Or I just won't hang out with that guy because I go, nothing that guy says resonates with me because I know he's doing X on the side
right.
or when he's alone.
Right.
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 But with women, our relationships with women or with our intimate partners or with work partners, it's like, are you a man that people can rely on as the mountain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this, the esoteric symbology of the masculine as the mountain or the king, it's you, the men, create the structure that everyone moves in, through, against, with. You know, and when you think about the feminine and the masculine being the structure, the feminine being the energy that enlivens all of nature, all of everything. And I was listening to Kat have a conversation with a woman who's getting ready to speak at her women's group.
Uh-huh.
And the woman sounded, who I know is a really profound healer and energy worker, and she sounded really tired and really at odds with the men that she finds herself surrounded by.
Yeah.
And all the work that she does, she goes, men are addicted. They're to alcohol, substance, porn. They've totally lost themselves in that. And as men, and she said this thing that hit me right in the chest, and because it's so true in everything that I've learned in relationships and everything that I've come to realize about the dynamics of masculine and feminine in relationship with one another. It's like, men have to step up and lead the charge of bringing balance, restoring the balance. And this is where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't expect, I see this all the time and it drives me insane, but I see these men, spiritual wellness influencers talking to women about how men love to see women in their femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, how do you expect women to just be in their feminine if we aren't in our masculine?
Right.
So let's correct it as men of being in the masculine, learning what the truth of that is, which is to be in integrity with your word, to be the bastion of truth and solidity, the solid ground beneath everyone's feet, so that then the feminine goes, oh, he's, this masculine container has been set so I can flow and love and create in my feminine, you know?
Yeah.
And so as men, it's like, okay, we can't hunt and we don't have to protect the territory anymore. I mean, you can do these things, you know, you can go and hunt, and I think that's it's a good activity, but it's not the survival exercise that it once was.
Right.
So the stakes aren't there as far as what that does for the family unit or the, you know, any sort of tribal group dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be the masculine, to hold the masculine point, our word has to be in complete integrity. We have to speak truthfully and honestly and move that way as well, so that we are a person that can be relied on. That the people around us go, I can rely on that person. I can live on that person. I believe in that person because what they say is truth. And that's the reality that we live in, you know?
Yeah. And that strikes me as important. I mean, I think it's really important, this men's work. And I want to honor that because I look around, I see so many men struggling.
Uh-huh.
And I think they need this. But I think this also is wisdom that applies in other contexts. Like, I think we would all be better off if we operated from that place of authenticity and transparency and openness, whether we identify as men or women or non-binary, or we're talking about people in leadership roles, right? In the leadership work I do with people, you know, people are like, well, how do you, you know, work with leaders and executives? And I said, you know, it really boils down to emotional intelligence and communication skills, right? And so much of that is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, are we transparent? Do we inspire trust? You know, do we build relationships that people can really feel confident in? Do people feel that we have their back?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
All these things.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting about social media, the internet, is it's really, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
You know? And we can see it all. You know, like you can, on social media, yes, you can paint a picture that's totally illusory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly the reality that you're living in.
Yeah.
But the people around those people know.
Right.
And when you can see everything and there's nothing to hide anymore, or you can't hide anymore, it's like the only answer is to be totally honest and truthful and authentic to who you are and how you are.
Right.
You know, and so that people, because I think to me, that's the, a really, maybe it's not the only, to me, that's an invaluable currency in this day and age.
Yes.
To be someone that people go, I can rely on that guy.
Yeah.
I can trust that woman. Absolutely. I know that what this person says is real.
Yeah, especially in this age of misinformation and, you know, yeah, all the smoke and mirrors that go on totally all the time, that, you know, hopefully most people can kind of see through that, yeah, stuff, but not always, mm-hmm, right? In this age of AI,
yeah,
you know, sometimes it gets harder and harder to discern, but we can still feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going back to the work that I do and all of it to create a deeper sensitivity through a deeper level of awareness.
Yeah.
So that you can be more in tune with that feeling of, because how many times have we gone down a road before AI even existed?
Right.
We would take that turn to go down the road to get the shiny thing.
Right.
Or the thing, sure, that we thought was really exciting, or,
mm-hmm,
this is the next step. And while perhaps it wasn't necessarily a mistake or a wrong turn, because we learned a lot in the process of seeking out that thing.
Yeah.
But maybe had we been a little more tuned to what's in alignment with us, what feels good for us and in the trajectory of the life we're seeking to build or envision for ourselves, like maybe we wouldn't have taken 5 years down that road in that relationship or with that job and would have just gone the other way, that, you know.
Yeah.
We cut 5 years off the yeah,
off the and of process. Course, it's always easier to see that in hindsight,
yeah,
right? But I mean, we've talked psychology. I know you have an interest in psychology as well. And I'm really interested in this idea of individuation, which I think it's very much related to, yeah, the work you do. It's like, uh-huh, that journey,
yes,
to wholeness. And so much of that journey is like an unlearning.
Oh my God.
Of all the societally, yeah, imposed expectations, what we think we're supposed to do or we think we're supposed to want, and like really coming back to, you know, the intuitive self and, you know, those things we know to, mm, be true about ourselves, and then learning to honor that.
Yes.
Right? The intuition.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so, I love that. Once again, like for me, the yoga, the meditation, the therapy, all of that stuff was super necessary for me in even getting to a place where I started to make decisions based on my own,
yes,
intuitive sense.
Yeah.
Which is, in other words, the process of my individuation,
exactly,
from my family, my culture, my society, yes, all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? And I know you and Kat really vibed on that when we first met, because she was reading the book Women Who Run with Wolves.
Yes.
And she had just locked in on this one chapter.
Yes.
Which was hitting me in the chest, because I've been, same thing, like this morning I was telling you.
Mm-hmm.
We woke up really early, stepped outside into the back, put my feet in the grass, and I literally just burst into tears watching the sun come through the clouds and the breeze blowing through the trees. And the feeling was really about having made a lot of decisions over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That were in direct alignment with me living for me.
Yeah.
And not living for my mom, my dad, or making decisions going, somebody going to tell me I'm doing it right?
Right.
Please, please, you know, and just going, this is what feels good. This is what feels in alignment. I'm going to make a decision based on that. Maybe it's the wrong thing, but it's a decision for me.
Yeah. And learning to trust that more and more. I mean, I think, you know, ultimately that's how our paths cross.
Yes.
You know, because we both felt that pull, you know, me like moving out of Austin into the hill country and, you know, just wanting things to be a little quieter, a little simpler, a little more space. And same thing, right? And then there we were.
Yeah.
Right? So that feels like a really good segue, actually, to talk about the Heal and Flow workshop that's coming up at this wonderful space, Mystic Oaks, a place close to my heart and and yours as well now.
Yeah, very close.
So tell us a little bit more about the retreat that's coming up in March.
Yes. So Heal and Flow is really where it all started. And my partner, my beautiful life partner, Kat, and I created Heal and Flow. And essentially, it was her idea. I mean, I was good with going and teaching yoga, doing my thing at other people's events. And she said to me one day, what do you think about doing your own events or us doing our own events? And I thought, really, we could do that? And so Heal and Flow was born out of this desire to provide people with a space and an opportunity to connect with themselves, to connect with their I love that term, the intuitive self that exists within all of us.
Yeah.
That we spend so much time getting distracted from or making decisions based on the external stuff. And we're not trained at all in tuning inward to connect with that intuitive sense of our life and our life's direction.
Yeah. And in fact, so much of what's out there is designed to do precisely the opposite. Yeah, yeah. Right?
Look over here.
Yeah.
You need this thing. Yeah. Take this pill.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So this will be our fourth event, and we're doing it at Mystic Oaks in Wimberley, Texas, which, I mean, I feel like I'm in heaven, Melinda, truly.
It's an incredibly amazing place.
Yeah, it's such a special place. I feel so grounded and at peace. And so Heal and Flow is a two-day experience. We do yoga. We do breath work. We jump in ice tubs. We have really great food. All of the meat is provided by and from Force of Nature Meats, which is all regenerative farmed meats. Incredible. As good as it gets on planet Earth. These animals are really well taken care of. They live incredible lives that nourish the land, nourish the soil, nourish the species, and then nourish us. So all of the meat is provided by them. Thank you, Force of Nature, if Sarah or anyone there is listening. Taylor and Katie, who are the founders, are just amazing people. Live out in Fredericksburg on a big ranch, really big ranch.
Yeah.
We have world-class supplements. And all of that stuff is so great. And it's really fun, and we love connecting people with the stuff that we love to take and the food that we love to eat. But really, it's about coming into this two-day container and having an opportunity to connect with yourself, connect with other people who are seeking out this new way of being.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's just it's the archaic revival of coming back to what we were always meant to do, what we've always done until technology and stuff started blinding us. Although, you know, if you've ever met someone from an indigenous tribe in the Amazon or Africa or wherever, they all deal with human problems too. So it's not like we're ever going to escape that stuff. Yeah. But you know, a two-day opportunity to completely reset yourself and reevaluate how you're living your life.
Yeah.
You go in, one person, you step through this portal, you come out the other side, and you have a completely renewed sense of what you want to do with your life and how you want to operate. And that's a really powerful thing. Like even me who, you know, I spend the weekend facilitating most of it and connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always come out the other side and go, wow, what do I want to do now?
Yes.
You know, our last one was in Lake Stevens, Washington, at this incredible home on the lake. And at the end of it, I saw how deeply entrenched many of my behaviors were.
Mm.
Just like simple things. I got to be here at this time so I can do that. Right. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I thought, man, I don't have to do any of that stuff, actually.
Right.
And I got to completely reevaluate how I was living mm-hmm. and how I was operating. And we even missed our flight. we missed our flight going back. It was such an interesting divine experience of the traffic was unexpectedly bad.
Yeah.
Like, unexpectedly horrific. Like, when we got to this place where we should have been 15 minutes away from the airport, we were still an hour and 15 minutes away.
Gosh.
And if you have ever been Seattle, it rivals LA in traffic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And especially coming through the city. And all of a sudden, I look down at my phone and I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to be late to our flight. No panic, no feeling at all. I just literally clicked a few buttons and rebooked our flight for the next day. And it was just a really powerful experience for me of in the past where I would have been like, we got to get to the airport. We're going to be sprinting through the airport. I got to do all this stuff. Got to get back. I just said, you know what? Well, we were meant to stay another day. We could take our time, move a little slower. And for me, that's been a really powerful shift over the years and everything that I do, and especially being in partnership with Kat, because she's such a queen of recovery and rest.
Yes.
And that's been a really big teacher for
me.
She
is.
You know, and learning, oh, I can go slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still get stuff done.
And maybe even more effectively and more productively than when you're racing around.
I think to myself, my God, I get more done in a day now than I used to get done in a week.
Yeah.
And I move slower because I move more intentionally.
Exactly. And you're not just kind of constantly spinning wheels on, you know, life's distractions, right? But I think that's really a testament to the power of retreat.
Yeah.
You know, whenever and however you can find that, just taking that time away, taking that time for oneself. You know, I was talking with one of my leadership clients earlier, and toward the end of the conversation, I was just like, well, how's your self? Like, how are you sleeping? And like, what's your diet like? And are you doing any meditation? And it was just like, yeah, all those things. Like, you know, life is determined to distract us in all these kind of ways. And so you do have to be really intentional about taking time when especially when it feels like there's no time. Like finding that time is so powerful.
Yeah.
And then we come out, as you're saying, with a clarity of purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the intention of Heal and Flow.
Awesome.
And really excited about it. March 23 and 24.
Yep.
Wimberley, Texas. If you're interested, if it's calling, just reach out.
Yeah.
You know, just see. Just take the next step and see if it's in alignment. We'd love to see you there.
Perfect. Yeah. And so speaking of which, how can people connect? How can people find out more about the retreat, about you, what you're up to?
Pretty much my information hub is on Instagram.
Yeah.
At EDS Britain.
Okay.
All links to everything is there. You can also check out my website, ebenbritain.com, although that's sometimes not always up to date. Instagram is definitely the hub. That's got Heal and Flow, The Wild King, which is my men's workshop, I've also got a group mentorship program called Life and Flow. My book is there. My podcast is there. All of that stuff.
Yeah. We'll have to do a whole other session about podcasting, right?
Yes, definitely.
To be continued. That'll be part two, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Melinda.
For being with us today and just excited for all the good stuff that's happening. And I'm looking forward to Heal and Flow. I'll be participating as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Really excited.
Yeah. Thank you for everything, Melinda.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much to Eben Britton for being with us today. At SyncCreate, we're here to support your creative endeavors. So if you have an idea for a project or a new venture, please reach out to us for one-on-one coaching or join our SyncCreate 6-month coaching group coming up in April as well. We're offering a 10% discount for people who heard about it through the podcast. You can find more at syncreate.org, where you can also find all of our episodes. We're also on YouTube and all the podcast platforms, as well as social media. So find us and connect. And we're recording today here live at Record ATX Studios in Austin. And the podcast is produced in collaboration with Mike Osborne at 14th Street Studios. Thanks so much for being with us, and see you next time.